find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning, I'm Luke Mathers. It's 8 a.m., and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans are back from their state convention in La Crosse from over the weekend after eyeing next year's big elections. Civic Media's Terry Bell reports.
Republicans adopted a series of non-binding resolutions. One calls for dismantling the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Another would stop college students from voting on campus. Party activists in La Crosse also want to eliminate most forms of early voting. That's even though party leaders are embracing early voting, like State Chairman Brian Schimming.
I say to Republicans across the state, look, we can't keep going into Election Day 200,000 votes down and make it up in 13 hours. We get people to early vote or we lose. That simple.
Schimming on Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Former President Donald Trump won the Wispolitics straw poll and drew the loudest cheers of all the videos by Republican presidential candidates played for the crowd. Marquette University pollster Charles Franklin tells Upfront that Trump is popular with the Republican base despite all his recent legal problems.
He has proven that he's able to mobilize voters who otherwise often sit out elections, so he could be a boost to turnout.
Republicans lost two of three statewide elections since November, but they also held on to Ron Johnson's U.S. Senate seat, gained a supermajority in the state Senate, and added to their majority in the Assembly. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Today is Wisconsin's official observance of the Juneteenth holiday. Governor Tony Evers says Juneteenth is a day of celebration and of reckoning.
We also recognize and acknowledge the work that we have left to do to truly realize goals for a more equitable and just state.
Juneteenth marks the day in 1865 that the last enslaved black people in the United States learned of their freedom under the Emancipation Proclamation. Wisconsin has recognized Juneteenth since 2009. A new route is needed for a natural gas and crude oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
U.S. District Court Judge William Conley ruled on Friday the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline is too close to a river meander, creating an unreasonable risk for failure near the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation. The federal judge gave a timeline of 3 years for the stretch of pipeline on the tribal lands and also ordered the Canadian Energy Company to pay more than $5 million to the tribe over claims of trespassing on tribal land. An Enbridge spokesperson stated the company plans to appeal last week's ruling.
The Wisconsin Public Service Commission is looking into new assistance programs for low-income households now facing rate hikes from two of the largest energy companies in the state. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News. Time is 8:03.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. One person is dead after being shot by law enforcement in Vernon County Friday night. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said that two Vernon County Sheriff's deputies were sent to a home near Genoa when they noticed someone leaving in a car. After stopping the car, the person tried to drive away from the deputies, with one of them hanging on to the side of the vehicle. The other deputy then shot and killed the person trying to get away, according to a release. The shooting is under investigation. A man was arrested after a drive-by shooting in La Crosse Saturday morning. The La Crosse Police Department said 31-year-old DeAndrew Grant is accused of shooting six people just after 2 a.m. on 3rd Street Saturday. He is being recommended for six charges of attempted reckless homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon. And Enbridge will have 3 years to shut down parts of its oil pipeline that cross parts of the Bad River Reservation. In the federal judge's ruling, he acknowledged the environmental risk but still gave the company 3 years to act. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers sweep the Pirates. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Pittsburgh had a 2-0 lead in the third, but the Brewers came back with a 5-2 win over the Pirates in front of over 38,000 fans on Father's Day at AmFam Field. Bottom of the fifth, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brian Anderson with the call.
Now we'll see if the Brewers can get a run in. And he stings one to left field. Yelich got a good break, and they'll send him home. Joe's throw, and Yelich is in there. Jesse Winker with a base hit and an RBI.
Christian Yelich with a pair of doubles on the crew, scoring four more in the eighth.
What we needed to do to push a couple across late, and those ones kind of feel like you steal one late. You know, we had chances all day. We just never really capitalized, and then did at the end when it mattered.
Clutch hits from Yelich, Contreras, Winkler, Craig Counsell.
You know, Yelich's been swinging swinging it really, really well. William's been swinging it really well. Joey had some big hits in the series. So when you get contributions from those guys that have been struggling, that's when you're usually going to score some runs.
So how did Pittsburgh let the game slip away? We talked to Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
Well, with the pitching, we got to throw the ball in the plate. We didn't throw the ball in the plate in the eighth inning, and that's what ended up coming back to bite us. When we have multiple walks in a leverage inning, then runs are going to score, and that's what we saw.
So the Pirates now with a 6-game losing streak. Milwaukee is back on top of the NL Central, a half game ahead of the Reds, and 2.5 games above the Pirates. NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat were said to be in the running to add Wizards guard Bradley Beal. Last night, ESPN reporting that the Wizards are finalizing a trade that will send Beal to the Phoenix Suns. Golf. American win. Wyndham Clark held on to win the U.S. Open in L.A.
You know, it hasn't quite hit me yet. I'm just so blessed and humbled to be here.
Racing in Road America, Colton Herta had the pole position but pitted too early. Alex Palou passed him to win the IndyCar Grand Prix.
Yeah, I was surprised with Colton pitting that lap early. So, yeah, that gave us the win.
That's IndyCar driver Alex Palou. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Yeah, 8 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Monday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. Welcome to the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a happy Father's Day. Today's June 19th, so happy Juneteenth Day. And outside today, it's going to be sunny, going to be a little hazy. But it's going to be warm with highs near 80 degrees just about everywhere. And in sports, the Brewers swept the Pittsburgh Pirates this weekend in Milwaukee. The Brewers are in first place right now, and they're only a half game ahead of the Reds. How do they get back in the mix? Well, I'll tell you how. They've won 8 games in a row now. The Diamondbacks visit Milwaukee for a 3-game series starting tonight. And so hopefully the Brewers are back on the right track. And in the headlines, got some things going on. Republican activists were in La Crosse over the weekend, the big Wisconsin Republican Party annual convention. Also in La Crosse, police say a suspect is in custody after a drive-by shooting about 2 a.m. Saturday injured at least 6 people. lawmakers from Northwest Wisconsin are divided on the fairness of the new shared revenue deal. And Republican lawmakers want to take local control away from Wisconsin's technical colleges. And that's kind of interesting because you often hear Republicans say that they want more local control. But not in the case of technical colleges. All right. And by the way, on this date, just a few years ago, 2016, the Cleveland Cavaliers, led by LeBron James, defeated the Golden State Warriors in Game 7 of the NBA Finals to win the franchise's first NBA title, Cleveland Cavaliers. Also on this date in 1953, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were put to death, becoming the first American civilians to be executed for espionage. And born on this date in 1903, Lou Gehrig, one of baseball's best. So the first story I want to get to today is a story about local politicians, lawmakers from Northwest Wisconsin, the Eau Claire area and surrounding areas. They're divided on the fairness of this anticipated shared revenue increase. I have a story here from the Eau Claire Leader Telegram that discusses the different viewpoints of these lawmakers from Northwest Wisconsin. This story by Andrew Dowd, and it was posted yesterday on the Leader Telegram. It says Democrats representing the Chippewa Valley in the state legislature faulted a shared revenue increase slated for next year's state budget for not doing enough to provide more money in mid-sized cities, namely Eau Claire. Meanwhile, area Republicans defended the budget measure for being the result of bipartisan compromise and the first increase in a long time that communities everywhere in Wisconsin are poised to see. Here's a quote. It says, "I think everybody won," said State Representative Rob Summerfield, a Republican from Bloomer. He said, "Maybe not everyone won as much as they wanted," end quote. He was part of a Friday morning legislative panel organized by the Eau Claire area Chamber of Commerce as a way to give local business and government leaders an idea on how different issues are faring during the writing of the 2023 through 2025 state budget. The state's Republican-led Joint Finance Committee has been crafting its version of the budget, which is slated to go to the full legislature, also held by a Republican majority, by the end of this month. Then it will head to Democrat Governor Tony Evers' desk to sign or use his pen to cross out portions using line item vetoes. The budget is supposed to be passed by July 1st, the start of the state's fiscal year. Shared revenue the state provides to communities has long fallen behind the rising cost of running government, and this year it became one of the issues that both political parties sought to address. The budget proposal currently in the budget would increase payments to towns, villages, cities, and counties by giving them 20% of sales tax revenues. But how that money is slated to be divided up between municipalities created debate during Friday morning's panel. Quote, "The city of Eau Claire didn't do so well in the shared revenue plan," end quote. State Senator Jeff Smith, Democrat from the town of Brunswick, said. He did add that other communities within the 31st Senate District he represents seemed to fare better, but noted dismay that Eau Claire, the economic engine of northwestern Wisconsin, didn't get a proportional increase. Based on the version of the shared revenue bill passed by the state assembly last week, Eau Claire will get a 20% boost to its shared revenue. The city has been receiving $6.08 million from the state in shared revenue, and it will go up by $1.2 million under the planned increase. Cities generally are set to see much smaller percentage increases to their shared revenue than rural towns based on the bill. But Summerfield gave an example from his district to show why percentages aren't necessarily the best way to compare the increases. The Chippewa County town of Birch Creek currently gets $7,715 from the state, but would receive an additional $38,500 from the bill. That's a 500% increase. He noted that to run even a small government, that's still not a lot of money. Fellow Republican State Senator Jesse James of Altoona said the shared revenue increase was meant to provide some help to every community. Quote, "Everybody thinks these are huge dollar amounts. They are not," James said. "It gives them an opportunity to do something with a little bit more," end quote. State Representative Jody Emerson, Democrat from Eau Claire, contends what needs to happen is an overhaul of the formula from the 1970s that decided how much money each community gets in state shared revenues. Quote, "Shared revenue is a broken system," Emerson said. "A 20% increase on a broken formula is still a broken increase," end quote. She added the increase being provided to the city where all her constituents live is falling short of what Eau Claire needs right now. Quote, "Yeah, we got $1.2 million, she said, "but what we needed is $3 to $4 million, end quote. Eau Claire City Manager Stephanie Hirsch was in the audience at Friday morning's panel discussion of local legislators. She agreed with Emerson's assertion that the issue is rooted in the half-century-old formula that divided up state shared revenues. Quote, "Eau Claire started with very low shared revenue," Hirsch said. "While $1.2 million in new revenue from the state is welcomed, she said it's small compared to the overall city budget and doesn't cover the amount of inflation seen in the past year." Quote, "We're left behind," she said. One area that legislators from both sides of the aisle agreed the Chippewa Valley is doing well in the budget talks is in facility upgrades for its public universities. Evers' budget proposal and the version coming from the Joint Finance Committee include $231 million for a new UW Eau Claire Science and Health Sciences building, the second and final installment needed to begin construction. And while the governor did not push for a $138.9 million overhaul of Heritage Hall at UW Stout, that project does appear in the Joint Finance Committee's budget. Quote, "This is huge for people in our two-thirds of the state, for us up here getting Heritage Hall and UW Eau Claire in the budget," James said. So there's a little bit of a look at what legislators, lawmakers from Northwest Wisconsin think of this deal that's being moved through the state legislature. Everybody stick around. Going to take a quick break. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da 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 da. Talking about you and me.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep-fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep-fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns...
Mostly sunny and warm today. We'll get to 87 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, it will be clear. Our low 64. Tomorrow, more of the same. Mostly sunny, 88. We'll get to 89 on Wednesday. Thursday will be warmer. Sunny, 90 with a slight chance of thunderstorms Friday afternoon and night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
To the people, power to the people, power to the people, power to the people, power to the people,
got 22 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Monday morning. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. And the next thing we want to discuss here is this headline that I mentioned in the previous segment. Republican lawmakers want to take local control away from Wisconsin's technical colleges. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with a headline that says, Republicans propose funding overhaul for technical colleges, stripping away taxing authority. It says Wisconsin technical colleges would lose their taxing authority and depend more heavily on state funding under an amended bill approved during a legislative committee on Thursday. The state technical college system and the 16 technical college districts oppose Assembly Bill 2 as amended, which was introduced and passed along party lines by the Assembly Committee on Ways and Means without public testimony. It now heads to the Assembly floor for a vote scheduled for Wednesday. Under the proposal, technical colleges wouldn't lose funding, but the state would have more control of their purse strings. Is that a good thing? Colleges would retain their taxing authority for building projects, but lose their ability to go to referendum for operating costs. And beginning in 2023-2024, that's this coming school year, colleges would receive state aid equal to the amount they received through their tax levy in the year before, plus any changes in property values Representative Sue Conley, Democrat from Janesville, the ranking minority member of the committee, questioned if the language would protect technical colleges from future cuts. Quote, anytime you take away authority in places, it makes me wonder what the end game is, she said. And this is important. Wisconsin was the first state in the U.S. to establish a system of technical colleges. The 1911 legislation provided state funding and required every community of 5,000 or more to establish a local board with taxing authority. Losing local control, quote, would reduce our accountability and responsiveness to our local community and employer partners, end quote, Technical College System President Morna Foy said in a statement. For example, if a big company or new industry moves into the area, a local college board can respond to changing workforce needs by adding programs and hiring more faculty. Close to half of the technical college systems, $1.2 billion in operating revenue, already comes from state aid, according to 2021-22 data. Another 21%, or $248.5 million, comes from local property taxes, and 18% comes from tuition and fees. Committee Chair Representative John Mako from Ledgeview, Republican, offered the amendment. He did not return messages left Friday at his office, his home, and through email. A spokesperson for Democratic Governor Tony Evers did not respond to an email asking if he would support the amendment. Conley said she received a copy an hour before the committee met. Some Republicans during the meeting cited concern about how the funding changes may affect their local technical college, she said. But they went behind closed doors to discuss, then came out and all voted in favor of it. Conley also questioned the process through which the amendment passed. The bill itself calls for eliminating the personal property tax, an obscure tax that requires businesses to pay taxes on furniture and other equipment. The day before the committee met, the legislature passed a local government funding bill that eliminates the same tax. Conley said that essentially left the bill as an empty conduit for the new amendment. Conley said, my biggest issue with this is progressing at a rapid pace without public input and no one weighing in on the merits of the bill. This is subverting the whole normal process of how we pass laws. A recent report by the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum found Wisconsin technical colleges are well funded, ranking fifth nationally among two-year systems. Do we want to change that? If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'd be interested to hear what you had to say. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
If I could be you and you could be me for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside each other's mind. If you could see you through my eyes instead of your ego, then you would be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Parts of the South are caught in the grips of a punishing heat wave, and then there's the rain.
Through a big chunk of the week, we'll have rounds of rain and also a lot of rain in a short amount of time. Therefore, we could see some flooding. The heaviest totals will stretch anywhere from Virginia all the way down to the Gulf Coast.
Stephanie Abrams at the Weather Channel. More mass shootings in America this weekend and more calls to do something about it.
At a Safe Communities event last week, President Biden spoke about the need to do more to stop gun violence.
Prayers are fine.
They're important. It doesn't happen again, but it's not going to stop it.
CBS's Jared Hill. Today is Juneteenth, a time to reflect on the end of slavery in America and the treatment of Black Americans today.
It was very much a activist spirit to celebrate the struggles of African Americans and the continued issues that we face.
That's Jacoby Williams, who heads the Department of African American Studies at Indiana University. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know
here's
how much
milk here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A person is dead after being shot by law enforcement in Vernon County Friday night. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said that two Vernon County Sheriff's deputies were sent to a home near Genoa when they noticed someone leaving in a car. After stopping the car, the person tried to drive away from the deputies, with one of them hanging on to the side of the vehicle. The other deputy then shot and killed the person trying to get away, according to a release. The shooting is under investigation. This weekend, the Republican Party of Wisconsin held its state convention in La Crosse. Notable speakers included Senator Ron Johnson and Representative Derek Van Orden. Delegates supported a resolution to enforce Wisconsin's abortion ban, which was written into statute in 1849. Johnson suggested that a referendum should be held on the issue to see what the state's residents want to happen. And Enbridge has 3 years to close parts of its oil pipeline across parts of the Bad River Reservation. A federal judge made the ruling citing environmental risks and also ordered the company to pay the tribe over $5 million. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answer.
Know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't wanna miss. Moment of truth in your lies when everything
nothing feels like the movies. Yeah, you bleed just to know.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in. And we're discussing several topics today. The next thing I want to get to is about the school vouchers. You know, up until about 30 years ago, there was, that public education and private education, private schools, were two separate things. And money that was going in from taxes to pay for public education stayed for public education. And people that wanted to send their kids to private schools had to come up with the cash somehow to afford the tuition to send their kids to the private schools. But that changed in the United States because of Wisconsin about 30 years ago. Tommy Thompson and Republicans in our state decided that public money, money coming in from taxes, should or could help kids who want to go to private schools, right? Provide them vouchers so that their family can afford to pay for the public schools. And that idea might have had some merit in places where the public education system was having difficulties and kids wanted to go a different route than the public education system. We could argue that. But since then, things have progressed quite a bit. And now in Wisconsin, a big chunk of money from taxes that used to go to public education is now going to private schools, where the government has a lot less authority over what the kids are learning. Some may say that's a good thing. But others may say, well, when it comes to education, like a lot of things, you probably want to leave it to the professionals, people that have been educated, gone to college to learn about how to educate kids and have devoted their lives to educating kids. So what do you think? Is it a good thing? Should we spend even more money, more tax dollars, more of your tax dollars? Should we spend more money on private education? Oftentimes for families that can afford to pay their own tuition at a private school. Well, that's one of the big debates we're having now, as we've been having for the past 30 years or so. But again, it's at the forefront of the headlines because Wisconsin is poised to expand vouchers for private schools. That's the headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it says, here's what that means. This story was posted just a couple hours ago by Rory Linane and Hope Carnop from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says Wisconsin lawmakers have approved a plan that would increase voucher payments that cover the cost of tuition for students from lower income families to attend private schools. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss presented the plan as part of a sweeping deal with Democratic Governor Tony Evers that encompassed funding for local governments and schools. Here's a quote. It says, I'm grateful that the state legislature and Governor Evers reached a compromise so that all students in Milwaukee will thrive. That was the whole goal this whole time, said Mary Chris Coriel, the president of St. Joan Antietam High School. It's kind of like Christmas in a way. Progressives and labor leaders have blasted the deal, which is split up in multiple bills, as a boon for private schools that does not provide enough for public schools and local governments to catch up to inflation. The bill that increases voucher payments, Senate Bill 330, also includes higher payments for charter schools and a bump for public school districts that get the least amount of funding. The State Department of Public Instruction estimated it could raise property taxes by $43 million. The bill was passed by lawmakers Wednesday night with two Democrats each in the Senate and Assembly joining Republicans to vote yes. It awaits action from Evers, who has promised to sign it as part of the deal with Republican leaders. So here's how vouchers work and how much they might expand.
through Wisconsin's private school voucher programs. Thousands of students from lower-income families get vouchers each year to attend private schools. The schools receive tax-funded vouchers from these students who are not charged tuition. The programs have expanded over the years. This school year, about 29,000 students got vouchers for the Milwaukee program, 4,000 for the Racine program, and 17,000 in the statewide program. The voucher amount is currently set at $8,399 for each student in kindergarten through eighth grade and $9,045 for each high school student. Under the bill, the voucher amounts would increase to $9,499 for the younger students. That's up from $8,399. So it's a, what, $1,100 difference. And it would also increase to $11,993 for high school students, up almost $3,000. According to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, those amounts would rise to $9,874 and $12,368 if separately budget provisions to increase per student funding for public schools by $325 are finalized. Voss has said the bill would be the largest expansion of school choice since the program was originally founded. But the bill doesn't expand the number of vouchers available in each school. It does increase the funding per voucher by more than ever before, according to a Journal Sentinel analysis of state data. The last big funding increase in the history of the voucher programs was in 2014, when former Governor Scott Walker pushed through an increase of about $1,400 for high school students, which was about a 22% increase at the time. Under the bill passed by lawmakers this week, the amount would increase by about $3,000 for high school students, about a 33% increase. Should our tax dollars be going to fund private schools? That's the question. That boost could lead to private schools opening up more seats for students who use vouchers. There is no legal cap on how many students can participate in the Milwaukee program, and the caps on the other programs are set to expire in 2026. Students will still be subject to other requirements, including family income caps. Voucher school administrators told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the higher voucher amount could help their schools serve more students, including those at St. Thomas More and St. Joan Antietam in Milwaukee, though administrators said it is difficult to predict the exact enrollment impact. Cole Braun, or Brown, not sure how Cole pronounces his last name, who oversees Lake Country Lutheran, Martin Luther, and Milwaukee Lutheran High Schools, and One Grade School as CEO, said increasing the payment from around $9,000 to $12,000 won't completely cover the gap between what the voucher covers and the $15,000 it costs to educate each student, but it helps narrow that gap, which is filled by fundraising. Quote, "The gap was so large that we had to limit everything. We had to limit resources. We had to limit the number of students we could serve," Braun said. "Us, along with other private Christian high schools, other private high schools, weren't serving more kids because we couldn't afford to," end quote. A survey conducted in March by voucher advocacy group School Choice Wisconsin and the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which also advocates for voucher expansions, showed out of 184 school leaders who took the survey, 61% said they would expand their schools if the voucher amount was increased, while 21% were unsure, and 18% said they would not, according to information provided by SCW spokesman Ben Vocal. The survey also asked school leaders to estimate how many seats they would consider adding. Vocal said four systems of schools said they would look to add more than 1,000 seats, while other schools anticipated adding as few as five seats. Totaling up the schools, respondents together estimated 18,845 new seats in the private schools. At the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum, Vice President Jason Stein and senior researcher Sarah Shaw said schools could use the higher voucher payment or the higher voucher amount in a number of ways, in addition to adding voucher-funded seats for schools that have a mix of tuition-paying students and students in choice programs. The higher voucher amount might enable cheaper tuition for other students and possibly attract more tuition-paying students. Alternatively, schools could simply use the funding to offer better programming for the students they already have, including by investing in staff. School administrators said the higher voucher payments could lead to increases in teacher wages and benefits, especially amid, quote, a more challenging market to attract highly qualified teachers, said John Mueller, the admissions director at Marquette University High School. Corey L. of St. Joan Antietam High School said the school has three areas where they would put the additional money, quote, teacher salaries, social and emotional supports for students, and upgrading old facilities. So again, I ask you, is that how we should be funding education? Is it okay to send our tax dollars to private schools that may have some type of agenda, whether it's religious or otherwise? It used to be that we tried to keep religion and government separate, religion and education separate, and people could practice whatever religion they wanted to, and still can, obviously. But should we be funding different religious schools? If you have an opinion on that, give us a call. The phone number is 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. In other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound way on down south.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks, 855-954-1186.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing city fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny and warm today. We'll get to 87 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, it will be clear, our low 64. Tomorrow, more of the same, mostly sunny, 88. We'll get to 89 on Wednesday. Thursday will be warmer, sunny, 90, with a slight chance of thunderstorms Friday afternoon and night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. Thank you for tuning in. 8:52 right now as we work our way toward the 9 o'clock hour on this Monday morning. Hope you're having a good day. And one of the things I wanted to discuss today was what happened in La Crosse over the weekend, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning Saturday. Evidently a man from Rochester, Minnesota, shot into a crowd. At least six people were injured in a drive-by shooting that was downtown La Crosse. And the police department says emergency workers treated people at the scene. Several were taken to local hospitals with non-life-threatening injury. And it says here a statement from the police department said, officers were called to the 100 block of South 3rd Street for shots fired. Multiple shots fired, numerous people injured. One person was arrested, a gentleman named DeAndrew Grant, 31 years old, Rochester, Minnesota, arrested without incident. Police said they recovered the vehicle and the handgun used in the shooting. A motive for what led to the shooting wasn't given. Police said they believe that Grant acted alone. This gentleman currently in the La Crosse County Jail, where he's being held without pending a court, where he's being held without bond, pending a court appearance next week. It says, as a result of the shooting, two blocks of 3rd Street were closed to traffic to allow police to work at the scene. Crime tape was strung across the intersections at Main and Pearl Streets. As investigators and officers looked for and gathered evidence, that area reopening to the public Saturday morning about 5:30. So, you know, there used to be a time when if you wanted to buy a gun, you had to go through a background check. Many areas had waiting periods. And, of course, you couldn't buy a assault weapons at the time, back in the day. You had to be licensed to own a gun. You had to go through training. And nowadays, everything's different. Things have really changed in the past 10 years. In many areas of the country, many areas of the United States, you don't need to go through any kind of background check. You don't need to have any kind of training. You don't need a license. You can buy any kind of gun you want, including assault weapons, and you can conceal it when you carry it, or you can just carry it out in the open in many areas. And how many more guns are we going to allow people to have? Where's it going to end? You know, if everybody's carrying a gun, there's going to be people shooting each other all the time. It's going to be even more crazy than the Wild West. I don't know. It seems like there's got to be a better way. Everybody supports the Second Amendment. You should be allowed to own a gun if you want one. But should there be any restrictions? Shouldn't gun owners have to show responsibility, go through a training program, at least get registered as a gun owner? I don't know. Seems like the direction we're heading right now, with more and more shootings across the country. In fact, this past weekend was a very deadly weekend. Many areas of the country, people shot, mass shootings in several areas, and we don't even talk about it that much anymore. It's not that big of a deal, right? Another mass shooting, another four people shot. And do you have an opinion on that? If you do, feel free to give us a call, 715-388-7155. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. Let's take a break for the top of the hour news. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day, slipping into stockings, stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat. It's just another day, at the office where the papers grow, she takes a break, another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks, 855-954-1186.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe.